The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our look at the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part 3 of our Rogue review. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0 or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos or that are just bad for the game get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your reward. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part 3 of our look at the rogue cards in the Edge of the Earth expansion. Just a quick reminder that if you enjoy the content that we are creating, make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us out a great deal. Make sure other players, both old and new, out there in the community can find these videos and perhaps pick up a few tips along the way. We're going to kick things off with Money Talks. It is a level 2 version of the original Money Talks, which appeared in the Circle Undone. It's a free event, 2 XP, Favor and Gambit traits. Fast, play when an investigator at any location initiates a skill test. Instead of the skill type indicated for this test, willpower, intellect, combat, or agility, this is a resource skill test. The performing investigator's base skill value for this test is equal to half the number of resources in your resource pool. Rounded down, draw one card. So I think it's important to note here right off the bat that unlike the level 0 counterpart, which was limited to your investigator only, you can target any investigator at any location with this card. So if there is somebody who has wandered off from the group and they are going to struggle, you can help them out. The other important thing to note here is that that investigator's base skill value is based on the resources in your resource pool, not theirs. So if you are playing a big money rogue deck, this can get to very high numbers. Obviously Jenny or Preston or Safina, if she's recycling Hot Streak and stuff like that. And to boot, it replaces itself, which is always nice. What do you guys think?
Welcome to the second coming of Warder Protection Level 2 in Rogue. This card's awesome.
Yeah, anything that's anything that costs 0 is fast and draws a card is always worth paying attention to, because it's just an easy draw. So one thing to note about this card is that, let's say you're rolling with 8 resources. You boost someone up to effectively a 4 with this, but they can't commit anything because this is a resource skill test, and there are no cards that commit to resource skill tests.
You can boost it with things like High Roller and Well Connected.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, but those are like still you. You can boost your stuff with High Roller and Well Connected, which kind of explains the original Preston Fairmont, who starts off with 1-1-1-1 in all his stats and relies on Money Talks to get things done. So this one, like, you got it. It's not as like universal as that, because, well, not as universal as level 0 was for Preston Fairmont, because you're kind of capped, you know, by your resources. So if you're running like 8 resources, then, you know, it might not be that much of a boost. But still, this is great. If you're doing the big money rogue deck, this is great. You can help the team and you can draw a card. That's actually like the most important part, I think. You know, you get to free act 0 resources, fast, draw card.
Yeah, I've really come around to Money Talks recently. I think one of the potential mistakes that players make is they look at Money Talks and they're like, well, this is obviously for big money rogues. So they tend to pigeonhole it in decks like Preston and Jenny. But I've been playing the level 0 version of this in my Winifred deck, and it can actually help you pass willpower skill tests. Especially if you put enough resource generation in your deck. She doesn't have a lot of good options in the rogue card pool to do that. And so I've been actually quite impressed with how Money Talks works in in a deck that if you can generate, you know, a fair number of resources, like even if you just hit six resources, all of a sudden your willpower is three, which at least puts you at even with Rotting Remains. I mean, I think if you are playing a rogue who generates a ton of resources, this is a very nice card, especially in multiplayer. On my bullet points here, I have luxury upgrade. It sort of feels like a luxury upgrade to me, if you're playing solo, but if you're playing
Oh, yeah.
multiplayer, I think this is pretty damn good, especially if you're trying to achieve Black Fan resources that we'll look at the end. If you've got 20 resources in your resource pool and suddenly poor Roland needs to take an agility skill test, and you're like, "Don't worry, I got you covered. Here, do it at 10." That's pretty good.
I mean, this card just lets you say, like, hey, pay the man, and then you just. Which is just great. I
He's
mean, as
no
somebody that
longer
plays a bunch
here.
of Call of Cthulhu, this is basically like making a credit rating check.
Oh, yeah.
You try to like bribe your way in or fast talk somebody. Ugh, it's just great.
Yeah,
You can
like
clearly tell that I like rogues quite a lot.
Roland's fighting the boss, and Preston just walks up to the boss and puts a fiver in his hand. Don't worry about it. How would we rate this one?
In multiplayer, I would say this is a plus one. This card's really good. You really don't need a lot for this to be good. You know, like you were saying, Man from Lang, if you're playing like Lone Wolf and Tony, that's enough resources
Oh,
to
yeah.
make this useful. You know,
Okay.
between your bounty contracts and then just generating an extra resource every turn, that's gonna be plenty, honestly, for when you want to use this card. And then if you're playing big money, this card just skyrockets in value.
Yeah, I think I'd also agree with plus one. I think the fact that it draws you a card, and if you're effectively using it, if it's effectively giving someone a plus two bonus, kind of like an unexpected courage, but yet draws you a card, that's not so bad. You know, like so, like let's say their base value is two, like Roland trying to evade, and you have eight resources. You're effectively giving Roland plus two to his evade test, and then you draw a card, regardless of whether it succeeds or fails. That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, I'd give it a plus one.
Or even on agility, those agility skill tests that are like you take X damage or slash horror depending on how much you fail by. Like even boosting Roland from a 2 to a 4 with this means he's going to take less dam, you know, potentially take less damage or horror, which is, you know, valuable in itself. Yeah, I don't think I would upgrade to this if I was playing solo, but in multiplayer, man, this is awfully nice. The fact that you can just reach out and help any investigator at any location on the board is incredible. I mean, that's Minj Stick
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
has been proven to be a very successful way of playing this game. So the ability, you know, to give a rogue that ability just to reach out and help someone. It's almost a strange rogue card in a way, because rogues are often like just like, nope, I'm not going to deal with this. You handle this one, and you're often passing the buck to other people. In this case, you're actually the rogue is helping other investigators in a way.
That's
But
good. I like that.
yeah, this one gets a definitely a plus one in multiplayer. The ability to reach out and help anybody and draw a card, pretty nice. That brings us to one of the most exciting rogue cards in the box. This is Black Market. It is a one cost event that costs 2 experience points. It has the favor trait. It is fast. Play at the start of the investigation phase. One at a time, reveal cards from the top of any investigator's deck until exactly 5 cards have been revealed. Set those cards aside out of play. While set aside, any investigator may play any of those cards as if they were in their hand. At the start of the next investigation phase, shuffle each of those cards still set aside into its owner's deck. What do we think about Black Market?
I'm going to talk about Magic the Gathering for a second here. So if you don't like that, sorry. But in the color red, in the game of Magic, they have this mechanic called Impulse Draw, which essentially exiles the top card of your deck, and then you can play that card until the end of the turn. And then if you play it, great, and if you don't, it goes away. This is essentially the Arkham equivalent to that, but you get to do it with any player's deck, which is really cool, and you can divvy it up however you want, which is also really great. It's cheap. I mean, this card is pretty awesome. I would say the only downside about it is that you can't commit whatever you draw. So if you're playing with somebody like Silas or Amanda Sharp, this may not be as great, but I mean, aside from that, if you're playing a lot of items, this is awesome.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to play with this a decent amount, and I really love it because if you really break it down to like an actually very basic use, compare this to No Stone Unturned. So No Stone Unturned, you pay two, you pay an action, you look at the top six cards of your deck, or somebody does, they pluck one and put it in their hand. So this, it's fast, it costs one, you reveal five cards from your deck. And you can play any of them. Now, this is just for yourself. This is before you get into like the multiplayer part. So if you look at it as I want a particular item, I pay one, I dig down five, that's really good. I mean, that's almost like cryptic research good, you know, if you're looking for a specific item. But then there's the sharing part, you know. If you're not looking for a specific item, you get to like, you know, do you need something? Why don't we look for it? Oh, look, you found it. All right, do you need something? Hey, let's look for it. Have you found it? Great. And then you get to do fun stuff with events. Like one of my favorite plays that I've had happen recently is I was playing at a table with another rogue. He played Black Market. He found an easy mark, and I took his easy mark, and then I chained it with my own easy mark. Yeah, hilarious stuff like that can happen when you have cheap events. You know, you could do things like take other people's emergency caches after they've, you know, if it's not worth for them to like spend the action to gain three resources. There's a lot of fun stuff you can do with cheap events that come out of this, but also just digging for key assets, I think, is very good. I really like this card. I think it's really
Plus, another thing to note too is that it doesn't matter where the investigators are. You can do this anywhere on the
Yes.
board.
Yep. Anywhere on the board. Yeah. So this also and also adds to like that fun, untimely transaction like rogue who's like really, you know, bountiful and, you know, helps everybody out. But one thing I also like about this, unlike untimely transaction that you really have to build around, this one like it just works. You put it out there, everybody loves looking at their deck to draw more cards, right? So there you go. And also there's a fun pro play here where you can really make someone's day if you find their like the tower and you like say, I got this. And you take their ta and you play their tower for them. You're gonna be like their hero, right? Play their weakness for them.
Yeah, this is, I mean, as a solo player, a rogue card that basically draws you five cards that you get to look at and then play or not play as you wish is pretty good. I mean, unless you're playing maybe a skill heavy rogue like Winifred, who isn't going to like this simply because she can't commit any of the cards. I guess you could theoretically get cock blocked by weaknesses and skills if you play this, but if you build your deck even moderately well, that's not going to be an issue. The ability to play assets to find those key assets is awesome. The ability to load up your deck with events and be able to play a bunch of cheap events is very nice. The combo with myriad cards like Easy Mark is nice. It's just like you may have an Easy Mark in your hand. You play this, you draw five cards. Oh, there are my two other Easy Marks. I'm
There
in
you go.
card and resource heaven. Safina can play this multiple times a game with the Painted World, and then of course you can pick up double double and put 10 cards on the table if you want, which is
Oh, one
crazy
thing.
obscene.
Oh, one thing I should note about this. This is risk-free card draw because you bypass weaknesses when you draw this. So if you dig down five cards of your deck, you do not run into weaknesses.
Yeah, and the other nice, like you mentioned, you don't have to deal with weaknesses with this, and it's sort of a down, it's sort of a good and a bad. I mean, you will have to shuffle those weaknesses into your deck. But by the same token, if there's stuff that you happen to draw when you go to the black market, but you're unable to play for whatever reason, maybe the timing's wrong or you don't have the resources or whatnot, those cards are shuffled back into your deck, so you get another bite at the apple later in the game. They don't go to your discard pile. So say you draw that intel report that you were counting on to do something wonderful later in the scenario, and it's just not the right time, you don't lose it. You can have another crack at it later, which is awfully nice as well. How would we rate this one?
Oh, this is an Elder Sign. This card's so good.
Yeah, digging 5, cost of 1, and fast, Elder Sign.
Yeah.
And all the multiplayer fun.
Yeah, this is easily one of the easiest Elder Signs, I think, in the box. And I think, unlike some of the other cards that in this box that we have given curse tokens to in the past, namely Seeker cards so far, although I think there will be a few others coming down the line, I think this one is well balanced, because it does remove the ability to commit cards. So if it was if you were able to commit any of the cards from the black market, this thing would be obscene. But the fact that it does put the kibosh on skills is pretty necessary, I think. So I think it's well balanced, unlike some of the cards we've seen in other classes.
Yeah, like this card probably isn't going to be as good in the late game when you're trying to like pass those critical skill tests at the end of the game. It's like, this isn't going to find you skill cards, but this helps you set up and make sure that you get to the end game.
The next card in the box is Moxie. This is an upgrade for the original Composure that appeared in Echoes of the Past. This one is a free asset that costs 3 experience points. It has 2 willpower and 2 agility skill icons, talent and composure trait. Fast, limit 1 composure in play. You get +1 willpower and +1 agility. Non-direct damage slash horror must be assigned to Moxie before it can be assigned to your investigator card. As a free triggered ability, you can spend 1 resource to get +1 willpower or +1 agility for this skill test. It has 3 health and 1 sanity. We have been pretty big fans of the new composures, combat training, and what was the seeker one?
Scientific theory.
Both really nice improvements on the original composures, which did not see a ton of play when they were released. I have actually played Moxie in a Winifred deck, and it did a fantastic job. I was able to generate enough resources to power the willpower on this and pass a ton of willpower skill tests with it. This is a very attractive card for rogues, I think, just because of any of the talents with willpower on it are very nice. This one has willpower and agility, which basically really leans heavily into not only treachery cancellation, but also evasion, which are things rogues want to do. It's got a bunch of extra health, which the original didn't have, so you can actually protect it a little bit easier. And if you are playing Winifred, here's another option to consider when you're building your deck into the thick of it, and 1 copy of Moxie and enough resource generation, and your willpower problems don't necessarily go away, but unlike some of the other options available, this can help you if you draw that Frozen in Fear before you're ready to deal with it and it gets stuck in your threat area. This gives you a chance to get rid of it, unlike some of the other the cards we've looked at. How do you any thoughts from you guys?
Pretty much nailed it right on the head. This card's great. I mean, it's fast, so no actions, double stat boost. Like, you really can't go wrong upgrading into this card.
Yeah, also it adds to willpower, which is something that is pretty rare for rogues. I think the only other rogue willpower booster is Dario Elemen, unless you want to count Gius, you know, as being like, because it adds to everything. But yeah, between you have this and Dario Elemen for boosting willpower, there's not a lot of it. I like how Moxie synergizes with Savant. Like, let's say you're playing Winifred, you play Moxie, your willpower is now 2. Your Savant just got better when you're testing anything but willpower. 2 stat boost for 0, fast, great. I like how you can spend it to boost your willpower, which helps you protect it from sanity loss, because you know you're gonna feel bad if you take two san you take a sanity and this goes away, but the willpower boost helps you avoid that. I really like this. This is really strong.
Yeah, and rogues are like the one class that pretty much always have the resources to spend.
And spending resources to pass willpower tests is very nice, even at all stages in the game, I think.
And I think it's worth mentioning that you've got somebody like Skids who can dip into the Guardian card pool for well prepared. And
Oh
now you've
yeah,
got
that's
two
right.
willpower and two agility skill icons just sitting on the table for as long as you can keep them there. That's pretty sweet as
That's right. And
well.
also Skids gets access to I've had worse level 2, which helps you protect the Moxie.
Yeah. So, I mean, Skids does have options. He could do the same thing with physical training if you're building a more combat-oriented Skids that needs the combat skill icons, or if you're leaning into the agility Skids, maybe you go for this and well prepared. And then, I mean, Skids with what's he got? Four willpower at that? Like 2 plus 2?
Five. Five because the Moxie itself.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good place to be as a rogue, considering you're starting at such a low value. How do we rate this one?
I'm debating between plus one and Elder Sign. I think I'm gonna give it an Elder Sign. This card's really good. Just because it's like it solves exactly the problem rogues have in the way that rogues are able to solve it.
Well said, Elder Sign. Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, rogues are really spoiled for choice in this box. I know as someone who has played a lot of rogue solo, I mean, I love playing rogue solo, they're a lot of fun, but overcoming that willpower problem, you know, there's one part of the community that basically says, ah, just ignore willpower, just beat the scenario as fast as you can. And inevitably that you usually just end up running into a brick wall and dying to something that you, if you had done a little bit more building around, you could easily pass. And between counterintelligence, which we looked at earlier, Savant and Moxie, man, you have a lot of options available as a rogue. And the thing is, a lot of them are really good. Like all of them have been really, really good. So yeah, as a fan of playing rogue solo, I think I've got to give this one an Elder Sign. This just the fact that you can dip in for into the thick of it and play this, grab at least one copy right off the bat, solves a whole bunch of problems. Excellent, excellent addition to the rogue card pool. That brings us to the final rogue card in the box. This is the Black Fan, Symbol of Power, 3-cost asset that costs 3 experience points. Again, it is exceptional, so this will cost you 6. It has an intellect skill icon, intellect skill icon, agility skill icon, and wild skill icon. The item and relic traits, exceptional. While you have 10 plus resources, you get plus one health and plus one sanity. While you have 15 plus resources, you may take one additional action during your turn. While you have 20 plus resources, you get plus one to each of your skills, and this thing takes up a hand slot. Thoughts on the Black Fan?
This is a really nice payoff card for those, what I essentially call ramp decks in Rogue, which are the big money decks. You know, you're ramping up to a certain amount of resources as quickly as possible, and this is a really nice payoff for that deck.
Yeah, I've actually been playing with the Black Fan quite a bit since we in the UK received Edge in the Earth. Yeah, exclusively in Jenny, because first of all, I was initially attracted to it by the flavor, you know, of Jenny the Dilettante, you know, with her nice little fan waving it about and having four actions. Yeah, I've been playing with this a lot. It's pretty expensive in both XP and in the amount of resources you have to like put out there, but if you combine this with things like Well Connected, with Hot Streak, with Dario El Amin, with like Watch This and
Moxie?
Moxie, you can really get this thing rolling. I think it really kicks in at 15 resources. Though the 10 can save your life, 15 is when things really start getting good, and then but you're really aiming for 20, and then you're starting to really roll. It's fun. It's not like overpowering, because it's kind of expensive and you really got to spend a lot of XP on it, but it's satisfying to bring together. And I think the big money rogue deck really needed a capstone. And thank God this isn't a capstone that costs 10 frickin' XP. This costs 6. It's much more affordable than like the red clack.
Yeah, it's worth mentioning that it does have the relic and item traits, which synergize with Ursula and Bob, respectively. It is a very attractive capstone, as you say, for those big money decks like Jenny and Preston and Safina that can generate a piles and piles of resources. I think if you're not playing one of those decks, this is much less attractive simply because for 5 XP you can buy Charisma and 2 copies of Leo DeLuca level 1 and basically get the first two effects on this card without having to spend without having to ramp up to 20 resources. All you need is 5, and conveniently that's what you start the game with. And not only does Leo DeLuca give you plus one health and plus one sanity, he actually gives you two of each and the additional action. So if you're worried about your health and sanity or an additional action, that's another way to get it. If you're and you save yourself a little bit of XP to boot. This does have the potential to be a little slow, I think, if you're not able to ramp up to 20 fast enough to be able to really leverage it that way. This is not a card that you think, hey, my rogue generates a lot of resources, and by a lot you mean 10.
Yeah,
This
true.
is a card that you need to be putting in a deck where you generate a lot of resources, where you are thinking 20 plus is a lot. Now, it is the other potential issue with the Black Fan, and this is something you raised when we were talking earlier, Matt, is that hand slot.
Yes, it's a pain in the butt dealing with that hand slot. The worst is not being able to equip Jenny's twin 45s.
I also imagine a world where you fail a Crypt Chill, and this
Oh,
is
come
one
on.
of the.
This isn't the first asset you play. You know, that you don't walk around with just the Black Fan and 20 resources. You don't do that. You feed your empty Derringer to the Crypt Chill, like I did on Wednesday.
I mean, that's what you hope to do, but sometimes it
Oh
doesn't
no.
happen.
Did this happen to you, Nate? Is this like a true story?
No, I'm just, that's happened to me with exceptional assets in general, is that I've like gone through all the work of playing them and then some effect gets rid of it, and I'm like, oh, well,
Oh, ouch.
I just spent all this work trying to get this one particular asset in play, and now it's all for naught.
Yeah,
So,
I think
yeah,
if you're
hard
interested
times.
in the Black Fan, do not underestimate that hand slot because rogues have a lot of competition for that hand slot. Not only do you have the ubiquitous lock picks that they use to investigate, but you have weapons like the Derringer, and it is difficult for most rogues to get an extra hand slot. I think one of the few cards that actually gives you an extra hand slot is Bandolier, which is really only accessible to skids, sort of out of the box. You
Or
can
Jenny.
do,
Jenny can do it.
Jenny can do it as well. You can use cards like Versatile to get that. So it's not impossible, but yeah, you do need to sort of consider what's going in your hand slots. So once you draw the Black Fan, you can get it down on the table and you're not suddenly crimping your ability to fight or investigate if that's what you're expected to do, especially in multiplayer. I'd be curious to see whether I could make this work in solo just because you would have to give up something.
Yeah. I think
And
Safina could easily do it in solo.
Oh,
Because
yeah. You do
Safina
some
doesn't,
spells. Yep.
she doesn't need her hand slots really.
Yeah, she
Like you
could
could.
lean into the mystic cards to fight and investigate if necessary. Others, I don't know, it'd be, I mean, maybe if
So
you could go, maybe you just have to lean into evade at that point and just say, okay, I'm gonna use lock picks and the Black Fan and then lean heavily into evasion to deal with enemies so I don't have to carry a gun around.
Actually, there are a couple of options here. So one thing I have discovered from playing the Black Fan quite a bit is that the additional action helps take the sting of having to change hand slots in the offhand. So because You have four actions instead of three. Taking a play action to say replace your lockpicks with a like a Derringer or something, it's less bad. Also, there's some neat events. So you can do lockpicks, but then rely on, say, cheap shot level two to kind of help deal with enemies. Like, you have some options there.
Yeah, I could see a world where you combine like some events like sneak attack and like you were saying, cheap shot, and then use Grit Wire to kind of finish them off.
There you go.
So, you know, there are possibilities, I think, like if you wanted to, you know, have lock picks but also fight things. I do think that there is a world where you can kind of build around that.
But can you go the opposite way and have something in the like a weapon in the hand slot and then get enough clues?
Oh, you have intel report.
True, but
Lolo Santiago, but that's costing you resources. That kind of there's almost anti-synergy there. But then again, what you could do, and I've done this too, is you get way more than 20, and then you spend all the excess on Lolo Santiago. You just
Yeah,
keep
'cause
it
it's
going.
I mean like if you're playing like a Sephina or something, right? And you double on a hot streak, that's 20 resources right there. That's one card, you know.
So how would we
That's
rate the
true.
Black Fan?
I give this thing a bless token. You know, you clearly have to build around this card, but I do think it's fun and worth it when you do.
Also a bless. Like I said, I think if you just have the black fan, but if you combine it with things like Well Connected and Dario Elamin and Money Talks, I think you kind of get this whole ball going. And I've found it a lot of fun so far. I like the Safina idea. I think there's a lot of potential there.
I'm debating between the Blessed Token and a plus one in the big money decks. I think this is really just for big money decks. So I think I'd give it a plus one in those decks. It's good, unless you're playing a big money deck. You're not going to worry about this because you're just not going to be able to generate enough resources to get the full benefit. And there are easier ways of getting a lot of these. You know, if you need more health and sanity, just buy charisma and another ally. If you need the additional action, Leo's available as well as other cards that can give you additional actions. But I think if you are playing that big money rogue deck, then this is something to shoot for. And I don't think you'd, I mean, obviously your experience, Matt, has been very positive with this. So I think a plus one is a nice spot for it. In that particular deck. That's going to do it for our look at the rogue cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. If you agree or disagree, make sure you leave a comment down below. We always love to hear from you. Any final thoughts on the rogue cards?
I gotta say, this is probably one of the best expansions for the rogue card pool. You have so
Oh
many
my
great
gosh,
tools to play around
yes.
with.
Yeah, this is great. Oh man, these four that we just did. Oh man, like at least my ratings. Bless, Elder Sign, Bless. It's like this is great. And the two blesses go in the same deck. So it's like, oh, this is great. I'm having a man, this rogues made out well. At least the big money rogues. Yeah.
I mean, even like Savant, Counter Espionage,
Oh yeah, all
like
rogues
those
made
are.
out. Just certain rogues made out even more, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a really good heist. Everybody got paid, you know.
But some people got paid more.
But everybody got paid.
Yeah, there's lots of really interesting cards to play around with that come in this box. So if I think if you're a rogue, somebody who enjoys playing rogues, you're going to be pretty happy if you pick up this box. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.